So are you guys full, digesting, kind of in that place, sleepy? Oh, good. All right, so how many of you guys feel like this weekend you've gotten some ideas that you know you need to implement? All right, awesome, great. Okay, but maybe you're back at that place of overwhelm. Yeah, okay, cool. So this is why I put this presentation here, and this is really, I feel like it's the key to how I've been able to grow my business, and it's just a really big piece of being a business owner is this whole scaling, time, team, and transactions. So definitely like take notes, but also just take it in, because it could be a mindset shift, it could be something you've heard before but haven't really thought would apply to your business, and maybe you think, oh, I'm not there yet, I'm not ready yet. But I really think this is key. So let's go ahead and start diving in. So scaling is pretty exciting. So really scaling means expanding your capacity in a certain area. And in this case, we want to expand your capacity in terms of time, team, and of course, transactions. So we all have a 24-hour day, unless you guys have a secret superpower that I don't know about, time travel. So we really have to learn all these tools and tips to make the most of our days and of our time. And sometimes it might feel like, you know, how do I actually expand time? How do I actually expand my team or expand all these things? So we're totally going to dive into all of this. But just know that what we're working on today is expanding our capacity for these things in our lives and in our businesses. So expanding time. Does that sound nice to anyone? Sounds really nice, right? So I've been doing a lot of work on time for myself, for my clients, just in general, because it's such a recurring issue for all of us. Like, you know, you learn something, or, you know, you want to do something, you want to exercise, you want to do more different things in your life, and you're like, I just don't have the time, right? It's always the limiting factor. So I've discovered a couple of ways. Some of them are really practical, and some of them are a little bit more kind of subtle. So let's play around and see what we play with. So the very first thing before we go into any time management or any of that stuff is to really close any open loops and any emotional stuff that might be holding you back. Because really, at the end of the day, all that mental and emotional stuff that we have can be taking up some of your energy and some of your time. So let's all just go ahead and close your eyes. We're going to think about maybe some sort of an emotional thing. Maybe it's like a family member or a friend from a long time ago. It could be like very recent, could be very, very old and stuff you haven't dealt with and or thought about in a long time. But just think about somebody that you need to forgive. And it can be really like across the spectrum. It doesn't have to be like a big, like, oh my God, they like, you know, dishonored my family or something like that, right? So it can totally be like a small thing, right? But something that you feel like you're maybe holding on to something. So go ahead and just think about, I love this Ha'oponopono exercise, and just say, thank you, I love you, I'm sorry, and I forgive you. So just go ahead and like mentally say that to that person and just kind of let yourself release some of that energy that you might still be holding on to there. Oh, I can already feel it. The room just got so much more like beautiful. Great. And so I try to do this as much as I can. Like, it doesn't have to be like, okay, today, who can I forgive, right? It doesn't have to be like a to-do list item. But every now and then when you're starting to feel overwhelmed or like there's something that's just not quite jiving, just go ahead and think back about this exercise, because it makes such a huge difference. And you can actually make a list of things you need to forgive. And sometimes it can be forgiving yourself. And it makes a huge difference to just let it all go and close those loops. Okay, so the main thing that we as business owners need to be is leaders, right? And sometimes, I don't know about you, but my inbox or just the web in general can feel like this place that I'm like a ping pong ball, where I'm always reacting to other things, I'm always answering things, I'm always just like, oh, there's a new task I need to do because whatever, or like my team member needs this, or you know, somebody had a question, so I need to answer that. So there's a lot of ping-ponging. So one thing I recommend is if you use your inbox right now as your to-do list, you need to remove that temptation, okay? So you really do not want to be using your inbox as what you need to do that day. And if you can, it's not really realistic for me personally to not check my email in the morning, because I do like check my email in the morning just to make sure nothing blew up overnight. but if you do check your email, you know, let those emails that have to-do items either turn into actual tasks that you will follow up on later, or just like assign them out, or just say, I'll come back later in the day after I've done my priorities for the day. That's really, really key. Just making sure I'm talking about what I was going to say. Yeah, so your role as a business owner is really to set the vision and the course for your company. Okay, so this was a bit of a pre-work exercise that I asked you guys to do, to write down everything that you do in your business right now to make it run. So if you brought that list, awesome. And if you haven't done the exercise, we're just going to take like a minute or two right now just to start jotting down what it is that you do every day in your business. And it could be like maybe some stuff you do once a month, but just like what are the things that you do to keep your business running, operating, and in good shape. So go ahead and start writing things down. And then if you've already done the exercise and you brought it with you, then write down other things that you do in your life, like, you know, making dinner, walking the dog, like whatever other, you know, taking care of the kids. I'm sure there's a whole lot of personal items as well. Okay, so we're probably not going to get to everything because there's a lot. But now what we want to do is we want to include some of the things maybe you've learned this weekend that you're like, oh, I know I want to do that. So go ahead and include those on your list. So things that maybe not something that you learned this weekend that you've been like, I really want to do this thing, or I know if I just did this, it would do something else in my business. So you can go ahead and write those things down too. By the way, the reason I'm making you do this now is because these are the types of things that we don't do at home because we're so busy doing all the other things. Bless you. Okay, so now are you kind of maybe 50% done? I know there's probably a lot more. We all want to do a lot more. So now let's take a look and put things into perspective. So this chart came from the 80-20 book by Perry Marshall. As you can tell, I've drew a lot of inspiration from him. But I've definitely seen this apply in my business too. And you don't have to write it down if you don't want to. I'm happy to share the slides after. But the idea here is that there are different tasks that we can be doing, and they all have a different value in terms of what they're contributing in our business. So, you know, there's like a $10 an hour task, which is maybe, you know, putting out the trash at home or something, right? So there are certain things that you kind of have to do, but they don't really bring that much value. And by the way, you know, when I'm describing these things, like we've all done like the whole spectrum, like we've all done $10,000 an hour things in our businesses, and we've all done $10 an hour things in our businesses. And if you're hiring people, they're probably going to do a range as well. So I love the example of, you know, if you have an assistant or somebody who answers your phone and, you know, you have them do menial things, right? So they're like filing things or whatever. And then if a big deal client calls them and, you know, they answer and they get them through to you, that's a $10,000 task, right? An hour task, because they just made you a lot of money. So, you know, think about the range of the different things that you're doing, and then also the people on your team, if you have any. So I would love to have you maybe put, like, beside what you wrote, like $10 an hour, $100 an hour, $1,000 an hour, $10,000 an hour. And, you know, in terms of tasks, like social media, for example, could be a $10,000 an hour thing if you're doing it from a very strategic point of view, like we saw yesterday. Or it could also be a $10 an hour thing where you're, like, just kind of chatting and just wasting time a little and trying to avoid stuff. So just thinking about it very consciously and intentionally and seeing where it really fits on that spectrum. So, for example, I just love some of these examples where you're thinking about, like, your marketing, right? Like writing a marketing email is maybe a $100 an hour task or a $1,000 an hour task, depending on, you know, how many sales you can get from that one email. But then, you know, designing entire campaigns, like, kind of the more you can move towards that vision side where you're actually thinking about the big things in your business, the more valuable it is. So, for example, positioning your business, coming up with your viewpoints, all of those things are things that are so much more valuable than, say, updating a widget or a button on your website. But the thing is, we have to do all of those things, right? So how do you make it all happen? And we're going to talk about that. But I really want you to get clear on what are the things that maybe you could hire out that you're currently doing and that might not be as useful in the way that you're using your time. Cool. Do you want me to keep this slide up for a bit? So just go through and put in, like, what you think. And by the way, so I have, like, updating your website and that kind of stuff on here. So, like, designing the strategy and the brand and all that stuff for your website is super valuable. But, you know, changing, like, a little pixel or, like, you know, there's certain levels of things you have to kind of understand how I'm talking about it here. So if you, you know, want to change your MailChimp code or something, like, you don't have to be the one doing that, right? Does this click? Does anybody have questions about this? Yeah. Go for it.
Just wanted to share that I just realized I'm spending all my time doing $10, $100 an hour things and not the...
Yes.
Exactly.
So everybody, yeah, so totally what she just shared is that she's doing a lot of $10 and $100 an hour tasks and pushing off those important things because she doesn't have time. So, yeah, it's, and kind of like taking your business as if it was a client is that same, like, I have to make space for these bigger things for myself to not have to do those smaller things anymore, right? So, yeah, totally. Great. Yes, Kelly. Yeah, so basically if you're going on Facebook to waste time, you know, that's kind of what I mean, right? So it's like if you're like, oh, I don't really want to write that thing that I should really be working on, I'm going to go on Facebook and answer questions and participate in the conversation. But you're kind of just out there and not really, like, you know, you're not thinking, like, I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to be smart about it, right? Cool. And some of these things, like, they're from, like, some of them I slightly tweaked from the actual book just to explain them a little bit better. But, you know, like, cleaning, actually, data entry, like, those are pretty clear. But, yeah, selecting team members, creating better offers, like, those are the big things, right? And selling to high-end clients, speaking, all of those things, yes. Yeah, totally, thank you. Stand up, yeah.
Hi, Natalie. So I've had VA teams for years, and I had someone that was great for 2 years, and then now I have a new team. And I actually had them doing almost everything for my previous launch. Cool. And they were making so many obvious, dumb mistakes.
Yes.
That the Virgo in me just took all this stuff back.
I'm a Virgo, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I took it back.
Totally.
And I've been... So now I'm actually...
You're the VA and everything.
Well,
yeah.
Not... I mean, I give them a little bit. I give them the graphic design. I give them the stuff I can't do. Cool. But... So I've been stuck in that. And then last week I met someone and she said to me, just make little videos. Train your team by making little videos.
Totally.
And I was like, oh, yes. Because, like, I've been doing stuff like...
Yeah, we're going to talk about that when we get to the expanding
on,
the team
you know,
part.
Like,
yeah.
Even SEO. Like, right. I'm doing my own SEO still.
Right. Totally.
And part of me is like, no. I mean, part of me is like, well, I do it better.
Yes, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, totally. So, yeah. So this is more the, like, let's figure out where we're at. And then we're going to get, when we get to expanding team, we'll talk about that for sure. Okay, so the other thing that I've noticed is that this really goes back to the staircase model, is that we're like, okay, I want to do 10 things at once, and it's going to be awesome, and they're all going to launch on time. Not going to happen. Like, let's be realistic, right? So how many projects are you actually juggling? And really thinking about, realistically, how much time is it going to take you to finish things? And sometimes it's the first time you're doing it, so you don't know. You really honestly don't know. And that happens to us too, where we're like, yeah, like we can launch this, and then, oh wait, actually it took a lot longer to write this, it took a lot longer to figure this tech thing out, and you know, you can push things back. But at least you've scheduled a bit of a buffer of like, this is when we're doing this. And then when that's done, we're gonna start this other project. So I like to think about this as kind of like a highway. So if you have like 5 cars on a highway, they can go pretty fast. But if you have like 1,000 cars on the same highway, it jams up, right? So you've got a traffic jam and nothing can move. So it's really the same when you've got too many projects going on the go. And it can be the same, you know, you can say, well, that's not a really big project, or like, you know, I'll just do that in my spare time. But it still takes up a lot of mental energy, and that can really slow down the progress that you have on everything else. So if it's not an active thing, that's not a priority, then put it aside. So I just heard this quote like the other day, and I just love it. It's first things first, and second things, not at all. Right? And I was like, whoa, you can do that? Like, really? You don't have to do the second things at all? Okay, great. So, but this is kind of the process, or the idea here is that you don't want to overwhelm yourself, right? This is not the point of this weekend. The point of having a business is not to be like at the I can't breathe point. We need to be able to like be happy human beings, right? So it really comes down to triage and prioritizing projects. So if you know, and we're going to talk more about quarterly goals, but if you know, like, this is the one thing that I want to work on, you'll make it happen. And if there's a certain project that's kind of lingering on your list, and maybe it, like, shows up at the end of your to-do list every day, and you're still not doing it, and you're still not doing it, and you're still not doing it, maybe you don't need to do it, right? Or maybe you need to find somebody else to do it for you, or you need to kind of make peace with the fact that it's not going to happen, or at least, you know, reprioritize for later in the year or something like that. And we're going to talk about how to come up with these priorities in a second. So, who here loves massages? Yeah, all right. So if I were to say to you, I'm going to give you a 5-minute massage, and then I'm gone. Or I'm going to give you a 90-minute massage. Which of these two would you prefer? Right? 90 minutes. So I feel like it's the exact same thing when you're getting into a project or a task or something that you want to get done during the day. You need to give yourself time to really get into it, right? So the first 10 minutes of the massage are really just you, like, kind of remembering, you know, you have muscles and you have a back and you have feet or whatever part you're getting massaged. And then once you're really into it, that's when you start to really relax. So it's the same thing. Once you're in your task or in your work, whether it's writing or designing or whatever it is that you're doing, speaking to somebody, that's when you get in your zone. That's when you get in your flow. And when you're in that zone, you get so much more done, like insanely much more done. And the trick here is also not to get interrupted. So if you're having a massage and somebody like knocks on the door and says your name, like, hey, something's happening out there, like obviously that's going to break the flow of the massage. So you don't want that happening in your day-to-day either. So if you're working on something, you know, turn your phone off, turn your notifications off, don't have your email, or, you know, don't have people come and interrupt your flow or your massage, right? So now you're going to know when you go home, you're not working, you're getting a massage. And don't bother you. So the other thing here too is that there's that context switching time. So if you're in a task and you give yourself, you know, 90 minutes is a lot, so it might be hard for some of you to chunk out that much time. So maybe you can start with an hour or 45 minutes, because those are still good massages, right? So start off with what you have. And the thing is, if you're doing five-minute tasks or five-minute things, or like 5 minutes working on this email, then 5 minutes doing this and 5 minutes doing that, what ends up happening is you're losing your focus and the time in between each task, because it's like your brain swaps out all the information that you had about this one thing and like stores it so you can come back to it. And then while you're like loading the other part of your brain to work on that next piece, you're losing a lot of your energy, your motivation, all that stuff. Yes?
I totally relate, and I'm so bad at this, but sometimes like an idea will pop in my head, like this inspiration, and I feel like if I don't write it down and if I don't do it, I'm not going to do it. So.
Yes. So, so my other thing, so basically she asked, okay, sometimes I'm working on something, but I have an inspiration or an idea, and I don't want to lose it. So my other thing that I love to say is that ideas have a shelf life, and you need to use them before they expire. So, sometimes I will, like, if it's more important, or if it's, like, something that I'm like, oh, my God, I will drop something and work on something else totally. Or sometimes I'll leave a breadcrumb for myself. So what that means is I'll just, like, say, come back to this. Like, I was here when I thought about that, so I can come back. If I need to come back to where I am, like I'll say, like, you were working on X when you had this idea and you went off and did it. And then when I come back, I'm like, okay, I can get back into whatever I was working on.
So you'll just jot it down?
Yeah, so I can jot down either that idea or where I was when I had that idea, so I can come back to it a little bit easier. And you're like, well, of course I'll remember where I was. But it's easier when you give yourself that breadcrumb. Yeah, great question. But yeah, totally, I get all these ideas all the time and like I write it down. Write it down for sure. And then impulse it, totally, that's cool. Yeah. Okay, so I'm glad that Hillary asked this question about working a lot yesterday, because I feel like rejuvenation is so important. And it's something that I'm still working on personally. So I don't take a whole lot of time off, but I feel like it is such an important thing to do every day. So rejuvenation basically just means like downtime, time where you're not thinking about your business, you don't have a whole bunch of stuff going on, and you can really just be with you. So for me, I do that like taking a bubble bath, walking the dog, whatever, sex, good things, you know, that kind of stuff. So whatever you got to do. Yes. So that's the benefit of having an amazing husband, but yes. So whatever you got to do to like kind of get out of that work mode every day, and also listening to the cycles of your body. So if you work really well in the morning and then you need to take some time in the afternoon off, like do that. That's really, really healthy. And if you are more of a night owl and you need to like sleep in, do that. Like that's really listening to your body, and I think it's important to go with the rhythms, and also to have at least one day off, fully off the internet, especially if you can, per week. But if you can do more, of course, that's always better. And I'm working on that still. But yes, okay. So now Einstein time. So this is all about like time is relative, right? And this is where we get to the more subtle stuff. We kind of touched on it with the massage metaphor, but really, what it comes down to is, have you ever had, like, you're working or you're talking to somebody and it was, like, so awesome, you're having such a great time, and then you look up at the clock and you're like, whoa, like, 5 hours just went by and it didn't even, like, I thought it was, like, an hour, right? Does anybody have that? Yeah. Or the opposite, where you're like, oh, time's going so slow, like, could this be over already? Like, what's going on? Like, what's the holdup? So time is really relative to how it is that you're feeling and how it is that you're kind of operating. So if you're in the zone and you're like, oh my God, like I'm working on like the coolest project and I would just do this all day, then time kind of slows down to let you do more during the time allotted, right? Which is kind of like, it's hard to like think about it that way, but it really does work. And what I like to do is, how can you really slow down, like in yourself, to allow yourself to experience more time. So it's a very subtle thing, and I did an exercise with my Daring Business Cultivator ladies in Italy showing us how to do this, but I think it really comes down to being able to like slow down internally and just kind of be present with whatever it is that you're doing, and then that way it's not like, oh, is this over yet? Like, oh my God. But you're really in whatever it is that you're doing, and you have that much more capacity to experience the time and get more done in it. Okay, then there's Richard Feynman. I just really found this fascinating, and I kind of got lost in a rabbit hole researching this. But basically, he said, and he was a friend of Einstein, so I was like, cool, sounds good to me. So he was saying that time is actually a direction in space. So it's not a direct line, which totally worked with my other analogies, so I was like, I'm going for it. So basically, time is not just straight, right? So sometimes it can go curve and loop and go around, and I really think like this explains why sometimes things are slower and sometimes things are faster. So that's another thing. And what I will say is that my most productive days are the days where I kind of fit in my work and around my like happy, fun life. And I'm just being me. I'm just kind of like, all right, we're going to have breakfast. I'm going to walk the dog. And then, all right, maybe I'll do a little bit of work. And then, okay, we're having lunch now. And maybe I'll do some more work because it sounds fun. And then, so those are the days, like I kind of think of them as like it's a weekend. And I kind of just want to sneak a little bit of work in. And those are the days that I get the most done because I'm not like, gotta like buckle down, gotta like get this done, you know? And it really changes the attitude that you have when you're approaching your work too. And I feel like it just takes that lightness and it just makes it so much easier to actually face your day and be productive at it too. All right, so now we're talking about team. So who here has somebody on their team, like whether it's a VA or just like, yeah, so good portion, cool. And everybody else, would you like to have somebody on your team? Cool, yes, okay, cool, awesome, great. Great, great, great. So why? So I think we kind of all know why. So 24 hours in a day, and also the dollar per hour work, right? So you don't want to be spending all of your days working on $10 an hour tasks. So if you could have other people helping with those, you could move up the chain a little bit more and create a lot more value and grow your business faster. So for all the Virgos and all the totally anal, detail-oriented people, like me, totally. Yeah, we can raise all of our hands here. So to have ownership of your business, you need to give ownership away. And this was my big realization at the end of last year, or sometime last year, in the middle of last year maybe. And it was like, wow, so if I want to be the owner of my business, that means I need to have other people in my business be owners of their part of it as well. And that just gave me such like kind of freedom and relaxation around the idea of having a team and having them help me with things. And I'm going to explain how to do that, but I feel like this is the missing piece for so many of us. And obviously, like, you have to have the right people. You can't just be like, hey, random dude on the sidewalk, here's my business. You know what I mean? Like, it has to make sense, obviously. But once you have the right people, this makes a lot of sense. So finding the right people is the first step. So I think we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I'm actually going to say that the first people you should probably hire are not necessarily in your business. They're at home. And they're probably cleaners or people who can help make food or take care of your kids or whatever it is that you have that you're kind of bottlenecking on. Because at a dollar per hour task, that's probably on the lower end to hire out. So it's going to be a little bit easier to start with that. And then it also frees you up like energetically, because if you're like working in a clean space, if you don't have to worry about making dinner or whatever it is, it's so much easier to think about work when you have to and then not when you don't have to. But then beyond that, really, I feel like hiring people is a disqualification process. It's not a qualification process. And I think we're going to talk about that a bit more here. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that in your business, you want to hire people who are better than you, so that you don't have to worry about kind of having that situation where you're like, I'm going to fix everything because it's never perfect and all these things, right? You definitely want to hire somebody who's better than you at what it is that you're hiring them for. I like to say that if you're hiring somebody who's technical, you want to at least understand what they're doing so that if they mess up or, you know, if they tell you it's going to cost 10 times more than what I originally quoted you, does that actually make sense? So I want you to have enough empowerment and information around what it is that they're doing for you before you hire them. But then if they're better than you, super awesome, so you don't have to worry about things as much. Great. Okay, so the next thing, so once you've got kind of the home stuff handled a little bit better, removing bottlenecks. So finding what are the tasks that you're doing on an ongoing basis that seem to just like stop what you're doing, right? So you're like, okay, like if only I had more hours, I would get to this other thing. So what are the things that you're doing right now in those hours that are stopping you from getting to that other place, right? And as you hire more people, you'll find other bottlenecks, right? So first, if you get like somebody who helps with customer support or somebody who helps with something specific in your business, you'll be like, okay, awesome, I have a team member. It's great. Now I have a bit more time. But then you'll be like, okay, now I have more and more people. Now I'm becoming a manager and another, whoops, oh no. All right, we got it. Cool. Okay, we'll fix this. Thank you. Great. So yeah, so you can have... Yes. So you can have somebody in your business who can actually start to manage all the people that you're starting to manage. So that's when you get a project manager or a business manager. And that was actually one of my biggest stumbling blocks with hiring was that I don't have time to manage all the people I'm hiring. So that was like a big, like, oh, I can have somebody else help with that? Okay, great. Like they can actually help run meetings. They can, you know, keep people on track. That's really, really helpful. Okay, so let me see what else did I have on here. Yes. The other thing that I did is if you don't have time to hire, you can actually hire somebody to help you hire somebody. Okay? So I actually did this. The thing was, I knew I had to hire. I just didn't have the time to interview and to find the right people. And I knew it was an important role that I was hiring, and I didn't want to just like leave it up to chance or just like kind of cursively look through resumes and hope that, you know, the right people would kind of come through. So I actually hired somebody to help me hire, and I'm going to give her a shout out. She's not here this weekend, but if you're looking for somebody to help you hire, her name is Amy Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. Yeah. And the thing is with hiring is that if you're not comfortable with, like, I don't know how I'm going to choose this person, like having somebody help you with that is huge if it's your first time hiring. And of course it has to make sense. So, you know, if you're just like, I'm just looking for like one person, maybe like a couple hours a week, maybe you wouldn't want to hire somebody to help you hire. But if you're like, if this is a big important role, then definitely do that. Hooray, it's fixed. Magic. All right, so where do you find the people? So there's a whole range of places you can look for people, right? So you can look for people, say, in the Philippines or offshore, you know, in all kinds of different places. Like I said, there's 6 billion people on the planet, so you will find somebody to help you with your business and your team. But I really feel like the best way to do this is to write an ad. So use your marketing chops to find somebody to work for you. And I actually, I love what I think Jada and Jen were saying, that they had people apply by doing a video to work for them. So I think really it comes down to disqualifying people, like I said, because you want to have somebody who's so passionate, somebody who's really detail-oriented, and sometimes that can be hard to test just by talking to somebody. So something we actually did is we had people tell us, like I had kind of an application process where they had to tell us what their favorite vegetable was and why. And that was a fascinating thing to read, by the way, for everybody who applied. But then also simple things when you're having people apply and just saying like, please say purple unicorn in the subject line. So if people don't say purple unicorn in the subject line, they did not read your ad fully, so clearly they're not going to be necessarily the best fit for your team unless you want somebody who's not detail-oriented. You know, it could happen, I don't know. So you want to do kind of like this little objective or kind of course that you want them to go through before you actually talk to them, before you actually spend time on the phone with them to make sure they're a right fit for you. And then also for smaller projects, you can totally look for, you know, Fiverr, Elance. There's a whole bunch of different places that you can look for smaller short-term things. And when you're hiring on those places, sometimes you'll get a dud. So sometimes you might want to hire two different teams or two different people so that if one of them doesn't work out, at least you have a backup. So especially if it's a time-sensitive thing. And depending on the cost, sometimes it's worth it to just, like, I'm going to be safe, right? I'm going to have two people working on this at the same time. I've had my personal experience is I've tried to hire it in the Philippines way back in the day because of the whole, like, hey, $3 an hour, this is going to be so affordable and scalable. And what ended up happening is we gave this woman a development project, and she basically disappeared for 2 weeks, and I was like, hey, how's it going? Any questions? You know, I'm happy to answer. And then she came back and just quit. She was like, I couldn't do it. And I was like, we had to wait 2 weeks to tell me that. But anyway, so that has been my experience. I actually prefer to work with people in the U.S., or, you know, Canada, or, you know, people that I can kind of connect more, at least personally, and there's no language barrier and things. So that's personally. Yes, you have a question?
How do you gently let go of somebody?
Yes. So I feel like Kelsey, she was saying, like, fire faster than you think. So I don't have a super amazing, I've done it a couple of times, and the first time I did it, there were tears and, like, the whole thing, and it was, like, terrible. And I was like, oh, my God, I never want to do this ever again. But I think it also depends on the people, too. So sometimes you both know when it's time to let go. And I feel like most of the time people will know when it's not a good fit for them either. So just, like, voicing it and letting them know, like, hey, I don't think this is working out. And also hiring on a kind of like a test basis, so you can, like, you know, actually practice working together on certain projects before you go, like, let's get married, you know? Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, great. Okay, and then the other thing is hiring locally. So if you, you know, if there's anything that you need to do physically or locally, that's also something to consider. If you have a physical business or if you have something that you need help with, obviously physical is important. Okay, so I think I already kind of talked about disqualifying people. Yes. The other thing, too, is sometimes we think, like, oh, but I'm just starting out. I can't pay, like, an $80,000 a year salary for a full-time person, and, like, who else is going to want to work for me, right? So the good thing is that if your business is, like, virtual, you're not asking somebody to come into an office and wear a suit and stuff, that's a really big perk, right? And it's flexible time most of the time, so they can totally work, you know, evenings if they're whatever, or if they're a parent. So a lot of people are looking for this kind of flexible work. And you need to remember that this is actually a perk that you can kind of help to find the right people and also to negotiate a little bit if you need to, you know, think about that when you're coming up with salaries and stuff. And also, you know, for the most part, you're probably going to be working with a lot of contractors. So that's another thing to keep in mind, is that they're looking for clients. They're looking for work. So it's not like you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm making somebody work for me. You know, they're actually, like, you know, actively looking for it. Okay, so now we're talking about setting your goals and your vision for your company. So even though you might currently be doing everything, I still want you to be thinking about your goals and your visions for your company, but it becomes even more important once you have a team. So, yes. So the other thing, too, is communication with your team. I actually don't enjoy meetings at all. Like, I am averse to the phone quite most of the time, unless, like, I have a meeting where I'm like, yes, I'm looking forward to it. But I really feel like communication with your team is super important. We're going to talk a little bit about that more. But the whole purpose of the meeting, for you at least, is to communicate what it is that your vision is for your company. So at every meeting, I repeat almost the exact same thing, like, this is what we're working on. These are our top five priorities. This is what's coming up next. This is what, you know, so that we're never confused, so that there's never anybody, like, facing a different direction or trying to do something different than our current focus in the business. Okay, so the first thing I like to do is start with a one-year view. And you can think about, you know, what goals you want to achieve in your business, whether it's, like, launch a new program and how many sales of that you want to make, or if it's, you know, get something other specific happening, like whether it's an ongoing evergreen funnel, whatever it is in your business. But I like to really make it specific and make it measurable. SMART goals, of course. But I feel like at the end of the day, this is the thing that will make you stay forward, especially if you write it down and you share it with your team. I think this is a really, really big piece. And even if it's just you, this is going to help you get clear. I actually have a little like note card beside my computer, and every day I go over, okay, so here are the five things that we're doing this quarter. I'm going to help you figure out how to decide what to do each quarter. But I literally have it beside my computer, and I have one beside Robin's computer. And then on the team meetings, I tell everybody, and we have it in our like planners and all these things. So it's really, I really feel like this is what has helped us stay on track. And also, sometimes, you know, the goals that you set, you might not reach, but at least you're going in the right direction, right? So the whole reach for the stars or reach for the moon, you'll land in the stars. It totally happens with goals. Okay, so each quarter, I recommend no more than five priorities, and number one is number one. So number one never falls below, it must happen. So that's really how I think about it. So if everything were to not happen, number one needs to get done and totally be cool. So these are actually real things that we had for the first quarter of this year. So B-School promotion was our kind of big thing. It was in the beginning of the year. And then we had planning off the charts. So that was another big thing that we were really focused on. So we also had growing our email list. So this is when we started doing the Facebook ads for the 30-day challenge. So as you can see, these things are kind of all coming together. And none of them would have happened if we didn't have these priorities. And then we had repurposing existing content. That's why we launched the podcast. So as you can see, all of these things are kind of coming from this vision that we have. And then get ready for launch and profit. So that actually didn't happen. So that was like the last one on the list. Didn't happen. Totally cool. So we ended up doing that in Q2. And we knew it was going to happen, obviously. But it just wasn't as high of a priority as the other things. So how do you come up with these? I think having that big vision for the whole year and where your income is going to come from and what things you're going to be launching and also kind of slotting them in for the year so that you're not trying to do everything in Q1 or like now we're in Q3 or end of Q2. So does it make sense to try to fit everything? No. And when you look at this, you know, this is realistic because I had a team. I would have never tried to do this by myself, by the way. but, you know, also just checking, like, are these five priorities really realistic for me to do in 3 months? Is this helpful? Yeah. Cool. Yes, question. I do in like parentheses for myself. Usually for me, I did share it a couple times in our team meetings and stuff, but it's not the thing that I bang over and over. It's more like this is our project. And also because I don't want us to feel disappointed if we don't reach it. And like, but for myself, like this is what I'm aiming for. Totally. Yes. We have a quick question back here. Yeah. Yes, totally. Cool. So, yes. Okay. So my team, I will explain. So we've got Jess, actually, who's over here. Say hi. Yay. So, awesome. So Jess helped organize off the charts. So we're going to brag on her later, too. So she helped organize off the charts and get sponsors. And she's also really been key for the Daring Business Cultivator program and just kind of organizing our retreats and things like that. And then Lynn... Well, I'm not sure where she is right now, but she is our project and business manager. And perfect, so she's back there. Yeah, and so she's the hire that I hired late last year, and she's been helping like organize so many things. And she's also doing editorial calendar, a lot more social media stuff, and like metrics, and really just kind of helping with a lot of the stuff that I used to do, but I just don't have time to as much anymore. And we've got Robin. Yeah. So Robin is also, he does a whole lot of things. I mean, he cooks for me, which is probably like number one on the list. But so he does a lot of things. He's actually working on some great plugins that we're going to be releasing later on this year. So he's a developer, but he's also just helps with so many different things. Like he's been developing some of our websites, and he does some support requests as well, which has been great for just like kind of getting into the business and learning what we do. And then we also have Danielle. I think she might be back there, too. Yeah, so Danielle was my first assistant from like a year and a half ago, and she's been with me for a very long time. This is the first time we met in person, so this weekend, so I'm really excited. And so Danielle does support. She helps with scheduling all the emails and making sure that everything is on track. So basically, if you've ever emailed us, you've probably communicated with Danielle. And then we have Adam, so videographer, yeah. And so he and his team come to our apartment usually once every 2 months, and we record videos, and he'll edit and upload and do a lot of that work for us. And I think that's everybody, right? Yeah. Cool. So that's kind of how our team is right now. Great question. Cool. All right. So, yes. I think I've banged this drum a lot, but keep reminding your team what it is that you're trying to do. It sounds so like, well, of course they know. But the thing is, especially with a virtual company, like, you're not in the same office, you're not talking about the stuff all the time. You kind of just meet either once a week, or even if you have emails or if you have things, it's so hard to just get off track and be like, oh, this cool new thing just happened. Maybe we should pursue that. But actually, if you're staying with your quarterly goals, you're actually going to get way further in your life and your business. Yes. The other thing is, if you don't have a team, you can totally do a self-meeting, and I would totally recommend that, because one of the things that happens is that we're so busy doing the work, we don't think about the overall stuff in your business, and quarterly is a great way. I feel like monthly is a little bit too fast for things to actually move, and you might feel like, oh, I didn't really get anything done this month, or like, you know, the clients didn't come the way I thought, so I feel like I failed with my goal. But quarterly really gives yourself time to like catch up if you haven't done what you thought you would. Okay, so delegating and managing. Okay. So the most important thing that I've learned is, if you have more than one person on your team, is to make it really clear who's responsible for what. And even having like a little org chart can help. Because if you're virtual, like, you don't know what the other person is doing. And you don't see each other. You don't know like who's responsible for what. So we actually have like a... like, who's responsible for what, and we have, like, each task. And it's not a task that they have to do. It's just, like, if you're wondering about X, Y, and Z, get in touch with this person so that you don't become the bottleneck of, like, oh, I don't do that, but you can find out about this person, you know. And then you have to, like, triage everybody's requests and things. So the other thing is systems, which we're going to talk about a little bit more here. But everything in its place. So I really feel like you need to... pick a system. So I'm going to show you the one I use. There's tons of amazing systems for managing things. And really, like, these are all awesome. Like, Asana is the one we use. Basecamp is also great. Trello. The other ones I'm going to share are a little bit different. But these are just great for, you know, who's responsible for this task? When is it due? When does it need to get done by? Can you communicate about a task? So we actually don't use a lot of email in my company. Because at the end of the day, you get an email, then you have to like look up, what is this email about? Like, is it about this task? Is it about this page on the website? If it's in a task, you can kind of chat about that specific task, and it doesn't have to kind of, you don't have to search through your Gmail or through all these different things. So I think that saves a lot of time as well. So we recently started using Confluence, which is basically like a glorified wiki, if any of you have ever used a wiki, but think about it as kind of like a WordPress site, but internally for your company, where you can have as many pages, you can upload videos, you can have tasks and all kinds of things, and systems and manuals and things that you want to share with your team. And you can also have it restricted. So if you say, okay, so this team member can see this and this one can't, or whatever, it can kind of help you as you grow as well. So Sweet Process, actually pretty similar to Confluence. We were using Sweet Process earlier this year, and we switched to Confluence. Sweet Process allows you to create a system or a manual. So, like, let's say uploading a blog post. First, copy and paste the blog post. Second, pick a keyword for it. Third, find links to link to past blog posts. So whatever it is that you do when you're posting or when you're doing something in your business, start to write down those steps so that you can create a process that you can then hand off to other people. And absolutely, I love the idea of recording. So if you're doing something all the time, just hit record on ScreenFlow. There's another one called Jing.com. And I think it has a time limit for how much stuff you can actually record before it stops. There's another one called Screener. Screen and then with the R at the end. Those are all just really quick, easy screen recording software that you can just save and then add to one of these wiki pages so that people on your team can just watch, and then they know exactly what you have to do or what they have to do. And then Google Docs. Everybody loves some Google Docs. It's really good. So the other thing, too, is once you start having these systems, It can be like you need to point people to them, and you need to make sure they actually use them, right? So it's important to make it easy for them to find the right systems. So that's where Confluence or having something that walks people through something with links and like, okay, this is the Google Doc for this thing, and this is the video to figure out how to do that thing, really, really helps, and it, again, takes you out of your bottleneck. So this is kind of how we've set up our Asana right now. And I'm not going to show you all my tasks, but I will show you our different projects. So we actually have our timeline. So you can totally use Google Calendars. And you can use, we actually put our calendars in a bunch of different places, but it's just good to have it in one place too. So these are kind of like off the charts is coming up. And you know, we have all these different things that we can have on there. And then we have stuff that repeats every day, every week, every month. So for example, answering support tickets every day, sending the newsletter once a week, checking the metrics once a month. So there are certain things like that that we do on a regular basis. And then the focus things, those are the quarterly goals that I was talking about. So we just have them directly in Asana. So if somebody is like, okay, well, what are we working on? They can just go in and see, okay, number one, number two, number three, what are the tasks associated with each of those goals so that we can really stay on track and prioritize. And then you can see we have other other types of things like the projects that we have happening. But the other one I wanted to mention is the log of issues. So sometimes things come up in your business that you need to fix, right? So maybe it's like something's broken on your website, or your website is down, or you know, somebody bought a product and didn't come in properly, or whatever. So logging all those issues helps you, first of all, keep track of what's working and what's not working, and then also appropriately telling the right people who can fix it, and keeping track of, is this a recurring issue? So if you're seeing this happen a lot, then maybe you need to change the system. Maybe there's something else underlying that problem that you need to resolve. Okay. Cool. All right. So the other thing is the rhythm of your business. So like I was mentioning, we have a weekly meeting, but we actually have a daily share. So basically on our daily shares, we say, here's what I did today, and here's what I have left to do, or here's kind of what I'm working on. For example. And this is all about having a pulse in your business, right? So, for example, if you were to meet with your team like just once a month, right, things probably wouldn't move very quickly because everybody would say, okay, I have a month till we meet again. I'll just do everything the day before or you know, the week before it's due, right? But if you're meeting every day or if you're pulsing every day with your team, then they have to tell you what they did that day, right? So if you feel like, oh, nobody's ever doing anything or I have to prod them all the time, well, this is a great system to actually find out what everybody's working on. And it also helps you see, is there progress? Is there something holding people back? Yes, question. Okay, yeah, so does it take a lot of time? So we actually do it through Asana, so it's basically like a recurring task, and basically you're just replying to an email. So just, you know, and really it's like this. It really doesn't take a lot of time. Like, and it's kind of fun. I personally love it. I'm like, I got this done, I got that done, and like, and some days I'm like, I took a bath. there's nothing sometimes. But sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, I was a rock star today. But, yeah.
So it's like checking things off the list or it's like replying to an email in Asana?
Yeah, so replying to an email in Asana. So we actually, you do, when they check off something, it also will kind of pop up somewhere. But this is just a way for the whole team to see it because not everybody is following all the different tasks. So this way, you know, oh, this person started working on this thing, so they're going to need that other thing I'm working on. And it can really just help everybody be more cohesive too. Yeah, great question. All right, so really it kind of comes down to how can you break like what you're doing down into different chunks, right? So you've got the yearly view. I don't really go much beyond a year or two, personally, because who knows what's going to happen in the future. But then you've got that rhythm. You can also do the quarterly, the once a month, the weekly, and the daily. And that will help you like pulse at the right level. So for example, you know, that 1 year view, it's not your to-do list. It's that big picture strategic stuff. And the quarterly is also pretty strategic. And then the closer down you get, the more action items it becomes. So you can actually get stuff done. Oh, I think there's a question back there. Thank you, Jess. Kind of all the way, yeah.
Gotcha.
So I have a question about
softwares that you mentioned.
Yes.
Is Confluence working in conjunction with Suite Process?
No, it's not.
Okay, because you said it was a wiki, right?
So Confluence is basically a wiki, yes.
Yes.
And then Suite Process is pretty much how you put it allows you to put different steps in a task and then you check them off. The reason we left Suite Process was because Confluence had everything that we needed and Asana kind of did some of the same stuff that Suite Process did already. So that's why
I might have missed it, but did you say that you're using Asana for the daily share?
Yes, Asana for daily shares. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Cool. How is this so far? Yeah? Cool. Awesome. Great. So your role is really to let go of the things that you could be doing. And you know, it is definitely a challenge, but it's so important. It's really the only way to grow and the only way to get to that next level. So if it's something like, if you're like, I love what I do every day and I want to just do the exact same thing, go for it. But I know you guys came to off the charts because you want to change things. So this is really the key. And it really does get easier. So it's like a muscle, you know, it gets easier over time. It's something that you will flex and get better at. All right, expanding transactions. Oh, we have one more question in the back there. Yep, thank you.
Hi, thank you. Would you say if we aren't quite at the point of being able to hire team members that it's a good idea to maybe look into systems that can take care of a lot of things? Like,
yes.
Like I've been approached a few times by MindBody, which is a software system that does scheduling and inventory management, and like it sounds great and maybe it's the solution I need first.
Totally, yes. So, I didn't mention that kind of briefly in the staircase model, but absolutely, if there is something that technology can do for you before you hire a team member, absolutely do it. So I use Acuity scheduling. So I don't have my assistant schedule stuff. I just have like, here's the link, you pick a time, and we'll make it work kind of thing. And there's probably other systems like that you can use to save time. And if it is something that you're noticing that over and over again, you're like, oh man, like if only there's a way to not have to click this button 40 times or something, right? There's probably a software tool or something that can help you streamline it. And for those of you who are newer to the whole systematizing a business, really all it is writing down how you do things in your business. So it's like a manual, right? It's like, you know, when you buy like the IKEA stuff, it comes with a manual. Their manuals aren't always the best, but they're like, hey, put this screw here and start with the top and then the bottom and all these things. So it's the same thing with how you do things in your business. So we all have ways that we like things to be done. And, you know, maybe it's like I like my SEO to be done a specific way, or I like, you know, whatever, the folder, something to be folded in a specific way in my business. So you could totally have that as a system. And I think it comes down to, you know, balancing doing systematized things, because sometimes a system can save you a lot of time, but it can also feel like I'm just a robot going through stuff, right? So giving people the ability to be creative and to come up with better ways to do things, but while also giving them that, like, here's how we do things. And if you have a better way, I would love to, you know, improve on it. So, yes.
So I'm just wondering who becomes part of Asana on your team. So I have a bunch of people who don't only work for me.
Yes.
And two of them actually even have their own version of Basecamp.
Cool.
But for me, it's not easy, like, to go into all these different versions. So do you ask people who are balancing multiple things to come into your version of Asana?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. And I think it really depends, like, if it's an ongoing person that you're working with, I would totally add them to Asana. Yeah. Yeah. Because you want them to have your vision and, like, how you're organizing things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Transactions. And we'll have more time for questions at the end, so. All right, so I was trying to be really cute and use alliteration, and what I really meant is like scaling your income, right? But transactions kind of works. So really when I broke down the word transactions, it was like going across or beyond, which to the other side sounded kind of cool too. I mean, not in a death way, but just like in a, like crossing a bridge or something. And then action, the process of doing something. So that also felt very positive and very like, yeah, like let's get into action and get people taking action. So it could also mean a business deal transaction, right? Like exchange of money or something in value. So let's talk about what that actually means. So breaking down your revenue goals, we kind of touched on that a little bit, but I actually think that the more you can break it down to specific things, so for example, having an overall yearly goal, having a quarterly goal, and then having even a daily goal is really, really awesome. And the thing is, it's much easier to do something every day to get to somewhere than it is to think, oh my God, I need to make that much. I don't know how to get there, right? Whereas I just need to make 2 sales a day, and I will reach this specific goal. It's much, much easier on us, and it can really help you to kind of move forward there as well. Okay. So the other piece here is that there are essentially 3 different ways to increase the number of transactions or the money that you're making, pretty much. So it comes down to increasing the number of customers, increasing the value of the transaction, so charging more, raising your prices, and 3, increasing the frequency of the purchases over a period of time. So if you have an ongoing service or if you have something that they can like buy multiple of, essentially. So those are really kind of the only 3 ways that you can increase your income. And as you can tell, you know, obviously increasing the number of clients, if it's a one-on-one business, you're going to reach a cap. You know, there are ways to get around that, so you could hire somebody to help you with the delivery of the service that you're offering. And then increasing the frequency. Most of the time, you know, you can't be working with the same client at the exact same time, so there's some limitations as well. And then, of course, increasing the frequency. And then, of course, increasing the price. We can all understand that, but again, the market, and there's other things to consider. So let's actually just take a look at what happens mathematically when you start to increase all 3. So if you were to increase 1 at a time, you'd get, you know, a bump. But if you increase all 3, you get geometric growth. So if you just increase, you know, I think it's 10% in this example. Yeah, so if you increase 10% in terms of the number of people who are the number of clients or the number of buyers for your product, and then you increase by 10% the price that you're charging, and then you also increase by 10% the number of times that they buy, say in a year or in 2 years, then you've actually increased by way more than 10% how much money you're making. And by the way, this is from Jay Abraham in his book, How to Get Everything You Can from Everything You've Got. Yes, you got it. Thank you. I love, again, like just bring it back down to the math, because sometimes we're like, oh, well, I increased my prices, but I'm still like capped. Or, you know, I have more clients, but I'm still capped. So how can you actually increase all 3? And especially, you know, if you have a product-based business, this does tend to work a little bit better, but it totally works across the board. Can you guys see how this could apply in your business? Yeah, so 10%, right? But then it's way more than 10% when you get at the end. Okay. So I really feel like it comes down to the big picture and your commitment to that when it comes to selling. And getting people results is really what you want. So Rebecca had an awesome talk about selling and making sure that they've got the excitement and the real thing that they're really looking for. You know, that "but really" part. I love that. It was awesome. So remember that when you're working to increase your conversions and your sales, obviously you want to come at it from the big picture and that I'm doing this because, and not just like, hey, let's pump up those numbers, right? Which I know that you guys are all coming from the good place here. So I just wanted to mention that when you're increasing these transactions. So the thing is, when you're building your business, that all 3 of these things work together. So increasing your pricing will help you hire people. Like, there's all these great intricacies that work together. Increasing the amount of time that you have every day is going to help you manage your team better. It's going to help you get more done. It's going to help you work with more clients. Like, there's all these great side benefits of everything working together. And I just see so much potential for all of you to be able to do this. And I really want to tell you that because I believe that this can totally change your lives. And it might seem too simple, but it really is a powerful way. And if you, again, this is kind of another geometric growth thing. So if you improve the time, how you use your time, if you have a team, and then if you're also making more money, you've got way more going on in your life, right? And then just 10%, if you will. So that was my presentation for scaling. Now, I would love to take questions because I know this is a hot topic. Great. Thank you.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi.
I'm Alexandra Greenwald. I'm a personal stylist. So I've been in business a very long time, and I feel like there's very little talk about failure.
Hmm.
And yep. I'd like to because last year I dreamt big,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to create something really big and really awesome.
Yes. So I'm going to stop you because you told me this yesterday, and I know exactly what it is, and it's something that Kelsey mentioned.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to connect that to you. So basically, what you did is you had like a perfectly executed launch that flopped, essentially,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of us have done that. Like, yeah. well, my first launch was definitely not perfectly executed, but I thought it was pretty good. So what Kelsey was saying is that sometimes we say, oh, it's perfect, so people should buy it, right? And yeah. what she was saying is that if you wait for it to be perfect, it's kind of like you've lost that connection with your audience, that connection with, like, is this really what they want? So when I heard her say that, I was like, that's for Alexandra. So, yes.
So I just had to scale up and then scale down. And
right.
then this year, I think of everything as an experiment.
Totally.
You know, I think more about, like, well, how can I test? How can I talk more? How
yes.
can I hear more from
totally.
My audience?
Yes.
And less about, well, if I just have the perfect team.
Right. Totally. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, it's exactly. It's not about... It's kind of like the execution and the team is really important, but you need that foundation. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And giving myself permission.
Yes, to play and to just figure it out.
And then forgive myself.
Yes, totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because like you beat yourself up because you're like, well, it should be as easy as the smoothie girls.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Amen. Yes. Totally. Great. Do we have another question?
Can you speak a little bit more on, like, you mentioned Suite process and how that was used to, like, put steps into a task, like uploading a blog
yes.
post, but then you mentioned that you moved on to using Confluence because
yes.
Asana does some of the same stuff with, like, the tasks. So, like, does Asana do, like, the screenshots like you were mentioning, or do you use, like, Screener to do that and upload it? Can you just talk a little bit more on that?
Totally, yeah. So, Confluence could pretty much handle our tasks. It could actually replace Asana, but I'm still too partial to the design of Asana and like the email, and like it's just really, really smooth. But Confluence actually handles like tasks. It handles step-by-step stuff, adding videos. It pretty much can handle anything you throw at it. Whereas in Suite Process, you couldn't actually assign a task and have it recur. Like, so they had some limitations from Asana. So I kind of found like the two systems that I felt like were kind of overlapping in a good way. Whereas Suite Process just felt like an extra system and people weren't logging in as much. So that was one of the reasons why we moved away from Suite Process. And the thing with Suite Process is linking different things was a bit harder. So you could have just like here's the uploading a video process, and then here's the answering a customer support process. And then if you have one of the things has to connect, you could link to it, but then it wasn't very like seamless. Like you couldn't have a page that said like, hi, you're new to my company. Here are the things you need to know. Like you just couldn't have that. Whereas in Confluence, you could have like a whole section for like, welcome to the company, and like here are our goals for the quarter, here's everything. And we have that in Confluence right now. And
you
just
could have
feels,
your videos there too.
You can have your videos there, exactly. Yep.
Cool.
You're welcome. Great. Awesome.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to answer. My name is Dina Burke. I'm an interior designer. And I just wanted to speak to your point about failure. Mm-hmm. I think some people here are young and just starting out in their careers. But anyone that's been working for, as long as I have, I've had tremendous successes and big corporate, big paying jobs, and I've had tremendous failures. And I think what I've learned from that is that it's okay. And actually, I think that I'm also going to start embracing a little bit of that story after hearing Kelly speak yesterday. And, sometimes we're afraid to admit that we fail because we all think we have to be Oprah, or, whatever. But even the Juice Girls said that, they had, times when they were really to their last nickel. So I just wanted to, to bring that point out, that that's probably one of the nicer things of having gone through several cycles of life, is that, you know, you're a little bit kinder to yourself. But on the other hand, it's never too late to have a happy childhood and a new career. So, also, I just wanted to ask you, Nathalie, about when you are starting, some people that have already been doing this for a while and are, you know, making quite a bit of money, and then other people that are kind of at that really crucial crossroad of, I've got everything set up and I'm not really making a lot of money and I need to jump in the deep end and start delegating. You did kind of point into that direction. However, sometimes it's hard to really take that leap. So,
totally.
Anyway,
yeah,
thank you.
That's a good question. So I would say, yeah, it's going to be scary, definitely, in the beginning when you're hiring out for the first time. And I think starting and having that trial period is a good way to make sure that you're not like, I'm going to be like, you know, carrying this person forever and like, I don't know if I'm going to actually make any money, right? So you definitely don't want to be in that situation. But at the same time, I think once you get things going and you ramp things up, you'll see, oh my God, like this person is actually saving me a lot of money and a lot of time. And then it can like ease you a little bit and you'll be like, yes, like this was totally worth it. This makes a lot of sense. And I actually just heard this recently, and so it wasn't my presentation, but a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we end up hiring people for things that we don't like to do. So, I mean, totally guilty, right? Like customer support or like certain things that we're like, oh, like even project management, I was like, I'm not good at it. I'm going to hire somebody for that. And what ends up happening is you're adding to the cost structure of your company. But if you can hire somebody who's actually going to help you grow your company, you can hire a salesperson or hire a copywriter, hire somebody who can actually bring in new business into your company, I would actually prioritize that. If you're not at that point where you're like, I can't handle customer support yet, I would hire somebody who can help you grow your company as opposed to a cost, you know what I mean? If that makes sense. Great, thank you. Oh, over here, great. That corner is hot.
Good afternoon, my name is Narissa Marbury, and I have two questions. One has to do when you're hiring your first person. I'm thinking, or at least for me, it will end up being like a VA.
Cool.
And it's, my concern is how do you protect yourself? Because I do have some people that I'm interviewing next week. I do plan on doing a test period, but then I don't want to give them access to everything.
Yes. Cool.
If it doesn't work out. So I'm trying to figure out how do I protect myself from a security standpoint. That's question number one.
Cool. Yes. So there's a couple of like password kind of protection services where you basically add in your passwords and then you give that, they would create an account. So I think the one we use is LastPass. And there's a couple of others probably too. But yeah, so you create your account and then you can remove access and they don't actually see the password. They just like click login and it logs them in.
Well, that's good to know. Just start researching LastPass just last week. Didn't know had that feature.
Yeah, totally. It might have to be the enterprise version. I'm not too sure, but yeah. Yeah. The paid version. Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Go for it.
That's great.
Thank you. The second question I have is, a lot of what I'm doing is one-on-one, but I'm getting requests for work where it's like, hey, I'm already at capacity. And I'm trying to identify where I can outsource some of the work, but go through my company. So, for example, had an agency wanting me to do some work for them in a different state. They know my work. They were confident in my work. And I'm like, hey, I have this wonderful digital producer who can help you out, do just the same. They're like, no, we want you. So it's trying to figure out how to subcontract the work. And then people don't just see you as an individual, but really see me as a company, which is one of the reasons why I don't use my name, because I don't want to be seen as the person behind all of the work.
Totally, yes. So in my web design days, I actually had a developer, a designer, actually ended up having a couple of people working with me. And at that point, I wasn't actually doing any of the design work. And I mean, I was doing development as well, but they wouldn't have known the difference, to be honest, whether it was me or not. And I think what it comes down to is being upfront. Like, you know, it's cool that
I think it's how you approach it. So you can't say, hey, let me just outsource things, but you can be like, I will be your point person, and you know, I'm the business owner, or however you want to say it, and I also have a team of people who help me do the work. I think it's more about how you kind of sell it to them, as opposed to, like, I don't think they would be opposed to you having help, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to know if you're the one clicking the buttons or whatever, right? Does that make sense?
In this case, yeah. What if the
person on site? On site, oh, got it, sorry. Got it.
Yeah.
For on-site, yes. Well, the only thing I can think of, and maybe, like, I think Kim might have something to say there, but just training them and kind of bringing them with you until then they start to trust, like, your team as well would be my thought. Yeah. Cool.
Hi, I'm Tracy Matthews, and I have a question about the creative people in the audience, because I'm definitely a visionary. I see big picture, but I'm not very detail oriented, unless I'm designing a piece of jewelry, of course. But as far as like getting the little pieces down, so sometimes when communicating with my team, I probably have the opposite kind of skill set that you do. So sometimes when delegating to my team, like I miss a lot of steps, mm-hmm. and what that ends up bringing is like maybe frustration, or I'm frustrated, and then people not really knowing what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Do you have any tips to?
Yeah, so this is actually, definitely if you've done the project before, write down everything you did.
We have systems.
Yeah.
But.
So, but going forward, yeah. So actually, this is something I started doing with Lynn, is I was finding that I was spending a lot of time breaking things down and being like, okay, here's what we got to do.
Right.
Now, step one, step two, step three. So now I just say, Lynn, break it down.
Right,
so,
right. Okay.
But I do think it's true. Like, if it's the first time you're doing a project, there's going to be some stuff that you can't necessarily know. So is there somebody else on your team who could be responsible for breaking things down and thinking things through, right?
Okay.
So some people are really good at being like, okay, well, did we think about that? Or what's going to happen if? Or maybe we'll need to have this in place before we have that in place.
Okay.
So some people are really good at that. And I would say, you know,
just make sure I have a detail-oriented person.
Yeah. I mean, you could totally do it too. But if it's not something that you enjoy, like, you don't have to. So.
And I also hate managing people, so like both things.
Yeah,
are like
so,
kind of torture
so it sounds
for
like
me.
You need a project or business manager. Yeah.
No, we do. But
okay.
It's, yeah,
but
it's kind
having
of like
them
the,
breaking it down.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Great. What is this? Our last question, or no? We've got a couple more.
Two more.
Okay. Got it. Lex, maybe. You're welcome.
Hi, Alexia Vernon. My question is, I'm in the process of bringing on an online business manager in preparation for a launch, but then to have that person stay on in that capacity when the role evolves for everything that I'm doing moving forward.
Cool.
In the past, I've often realized, even though I have a background in HR, that I don't ask a couple of questions that had I asked, I wouldn't have necessarily made that hire, if that makes sense, and it's always within the tech space.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if there's any questions that you've had to ask folks or that you didn't ask folks and learn the hard way that I should make sure I'm asking potential candidates.
I think the most important thing when it comes to tech skills is ability to learn a new skill, just because tech stuff is always changing. So if somebody is really adaptable, like I would ask them like kind of find some really obscure technical thing that you don't think they would know and say like, figure this out, right? And just find out like, could they like ramp up to that in like a day or, you know, like give them like a very short time frame so that they don't have time to, you know, like really learn it, but just like, would they be able to pick it up quickly? Because I think that's the most important thing when it comes to tech. It's actually not the exact technical systems, because those are always going to change, right? But it's more this ability to adapt with new technology. Yeah. Great. You're welcome. Great question. That's a good one. One more? All right. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Charlotte. I feel silly, but like I look at my list and I'm like, I can't imagine what I would possibly outsource.
Cool.
It's like if
What's
we're recording a podcast and then we edit the podcast, like I edit it and then my partner listens to it. So it's like only an hour of work editing it.
That's
like,
definitely
like
outsourceable.
But
that
I feel
is,
like it's like different takes. Like I feel like there's going to be the ones that the take that I feel like is most...
I used to think of that too, but truly you can have somebody else do it. And you just tell them like, you know, like, let me know. You could listen to it. It sounds like your partner is already listening to it for
right.
you.
So just,
remove yourself from that
that's just
role.
An hour. And then it's, like,
it's just an hour, but it could be a $10,000 hour, right?
Right. It just feels like all the tasks are so little that, like, then you're uploading it and you're still
yes.
writing the copy for the thing.
Totally.
So it's like the uploading only takes like 10 minutes. Like, I don't know. I just feel like.
But see,
all these,
that's
but
those
it just
are
adds up.
Those are all those little things that I was talking about
yeah.
that you're context switching and you're not doing your deep work that in those 90-minute chunks that I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
So that's the kind of stuff that you really want to get off your plate. Like uploading, like I don't upload the videos anymore. I don't schedule the newsletter. Like those are all things that like I could easily, and sometimes I will sneak in and send an email directly
right.
still. But for the most part, I'm like, it's actually like, it's almost kind of like therapeutic for yourself to be like, here's my line and I'm not going to do it.
So it's
yeah.
just that you're saying that all of them are small tasks, even
and
if they're
totally
5 minutes,
add
they
up.
All add up over the
And
week.
Also, like,
uh-huh.
just energetically and
right.
emotionally and, like, in your mind, you're like, oh, I have to upload. Did it finish uploading? And, like, oh, let me check and make sure that it, like, worked. And, like, it's
right.
just a lot of stuff.
Okay. But then do you still write the copy and then, like, figure
I
out
do.
The SEO terms for it? And then...
Yes. At this point,
yeah.
I do my research when I'm writing. So
then it's...
Yeah.